Not long ago, Senator Robert Byrd rose on the floor of the Senate to deliver a speech deploring the expanding use of the expression, you know. He said the phrase betrays a mind whose thoughts are so disorganized as to be unutterable, a mind in neutral gear connected to a tongue stuck in overdrive. Linguist Jeffrey Nunberg wants to know why so many critics are ganging up on this little expression.
Of course, there are you-knows and you-knows, and most of them are useful linguistic citizens. There's the you-know of self-revelation, as in, you know, I've never engaged in this kind of thing before. There's the you-know of remonstrance, as in, you know, you're not the only one with angst. And there's the you-know that announces a sudden insight, as in, you know, these things would go great with cream cheese and lox. But the you-know that bothers critics is something else again. It's the one you stick in the middle of a sentence when words fail you and you want to throw yourself on the mercy of the context. Oh, but George is, you know, kind of weird about opera. As if to say, I'm not putting this with as much accuracy as precise communication might require, but I'm counting on you to cut me a little slack here. Used in moderation, it's a harmless enough little noise. And sometimes it can be a useful way of nodding to the informality of the context, a reminder that friends don't expect friends to spell everything out for them. I grant you that some people overdo this in an annoying way, but it's not clear why the problem should be worth 20 minutes on C-SPAN, or why Edwin Newman should call, you know, one of the most far-reaching and depressing developments of our time. I mean, even allowing for overstatement, that's quite a claim to make in an age that's given us linguistic innovations like incentivize and ethnic cleansing. As it happens, in fact, there's nothing particularly new about the phrase. It's true that you don't run across it much in Melville or James, but then this isn't the kind of expression that writers would have set down in the cleaned-up dialogue of novels. If you went strictly by the literary evidence for that matter, you'd probably conclude that nobody ever said before 1947. Still, there's evidence that you know was in wide use in American speech 100 years ago. And anyway, before it was you know, it was something else. People have always had their conversational tics and twitches. The difference is that critics didn't used to take public notice of this kind of language before. For all we know, Benjamin Disraeli was positively phobic about the overuse of I say, but it's for sure he never got up in the House of Commons to deliver a speech about it. What's different now is that conversation isn't just a private affair. It's become the chief vehicle of entertainment and public information. Last year's presidential campaign simply made official what has been true for 20 or 30 years. We've become a society of overhearers. From dawn to midnight, you could spend every minute of the day listening to other people schmooze. They're schmoozing with Phil and Oprah, with Larry King, with Bill Moyers, with Jay and Arsenio. George Bush is schmoozing with Barbara Walters, and then Barbara and Hugh Downs are schmoozing about that. And the conversation of these shows is a strange new form of discourse. It's a familiar colloquy between people who may never have met before, where the real audience is only acknowledged in the third person. Well, Barbara, your viewers might not realize. Now, in this simulated intimacy, there's no real common ground to appeal to. So those fillers like you know that pass unnoticed in ordinary conversation can suddenly strike us as oddly jarring. The professional interviewers and talk show hosts appreciate this, of course. They may use a you know now and again, but always with a certain amount of artifice. It's a way of implying intimacy without really being intimate, the way the set of Good Morning America implies a living room without actually being one. But you can see how the callers or the guests might not get this right and might start talking to the host as if they really were alone with somebody that they were really on a first-name basis with. Yeah, but Larry, it's like lots of people are, you know, out of work. I can see why all of a sudden language critics have started to notice you know. I have to say that it bothers me too, but only when I hear it over the air. You want to say to these callers, look, we've never met you. We don't know.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist associated with Stanford University and the Institute for Research on Learning in Palo Alto, California.